Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, unbothered, impermeable, unbothered. I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand. Melania, permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake world, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C, that's my roster.
Goes up on a Tuesday.
It always does. It always seems like a Tuesday.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It's fall. It's Libra season. There's a lot going on.
Libra season. Oh,
Libra.
No.
Listen, Hayden, you still got a number of months before it is Pisces season. Okay, you still got a number of months. You got time. It was just your birthday.
No, it wasn't. That was
it was your
ago.
Birthday more recent than mine.
That's not true. I wouldn't just, you know, sit there and grind my feet up in your couch. I wouldn't just go over to somebody's house and just grind my feet in their couch.
Okay, Rick. All right, Rick. Okay, Rick.
That was ages ago when I smacked you. That was 2 weeks ago. For anybody who's seen that, you know what episode I'm talking about? Where Rick James, when he smacked him, when he went in the club and he smacked him, and then he was like, why did you just smack me? He had just smacked him. He was like, that was 2 weeks ago. Get over it. That was 2 weeks ago. I was like, no, that was, you just smacked me. And he was like, okay, hell of a job.
Dave Chappelle has been coming up with genius things since the dawn of time, I think. I don't care what anybody says about that special. I think it was genius. Did you see it?
No, I saw it. That was funny.
You know,
people taking offense to it, but he's supposed to push the envelope. He's saying what people's thinking.
But even beyond that, the people that actually genuinely go through the things that they go through, it's being watered down because everybody has a problem. Every time something happens, they turn up, whether it's sexism, racism, homophobia, everybody turns the notch up to 1,000, and nobody's actually looking at what's going on. The first assumption, oh, it's racism. The first assumption, homophobia, transphobia. The first assumption is that it is some sort of phobia, and sometimes it's just not. Sometimes somebody doesn't like you just because of who you are. And it doesn't always have to do with an ism, a phobia. It doesn't always have to do with that. And I think that we're watering down what we're going through. You know, and it even goes to what we're talking about today. We're watering down what we're going through because I don't even know what it is. I don't even know why we're doing it. You know, I know that we're going to talk about it throughout the show. Now,
I feel like people do things sometimes because they don't really know how to deal with it. So, like, what can present as anger is really not anger, it's hurt. And I feel like, you know, sometimes when you go through, like, serious topics, serious situations like that, you have to find the funny outlet. And that's why they say you got to laugh to stop yourself from crying.
Yeah, but,
and I feel like, you know, sometimes...
not allowed to be funny anymore.
Yeah. But I think that, you know...
political.
Yeah, but that's
not
like we have to learn. We got
to
learn how to take jokes, and we got to learn how to just kind of push it, because it's all the intent behind it. Like, I don't think he was saying that in a malicious way. Like, he was just saying jokes, just who he is. He's gonna push the envelope. He's always done that throughout all his, and a lot of comedians do that. But
I think his jokes were intentional to make us realize how crazy we sound. I think his jokes in that particular episode were intentional. Overall, I don't think that they're intentional, but I think specifically for that special, they were intentional.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can analyze that on another, because we could take the whole episode.
Because we're not even going to talk about what we, niggas! That's what we're talking about today. And it's, like Killer Mike said, not N-I-G-G-A-S, N-E-G-U-S, the title of the show. That's what we're talking about today. That is what
we went on a whole
nother
side note.
Right. If you did not see the Revolt Summit 2019 with, who was it? It was, okay, I'm just going to name the people that I know specifically. Candace Owens, T.I., Chip Harris, Killer Mike, Tamika Mallory, Katrina something, and another gentleman that learned a lot from the event. He was like, he had good intentions. He just did not have a lot of value to add. Not saying that he didn't have a lot of value to add, but in the I think he was more awestruck by what other people were saying, and he couldn't even get his words out because he was talking about, he was like listening to what they were saying. The three of them, Killer Mike, T.I., and Candace Owens dominated the whole conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what normally happens. Those three personalities are very large, and to have them on the stage was very interesting.
It really was.
I haven't heard Daddy yet, but I see him. I see you.
I'm here.
On my
screen. Hello.
I see you.
Hello, fam. Just listening.
I listened to it again. So as we go through it, I'm definitely going to give some things about how I'm feeling and how it made me feel, and then we can all talk about all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the Revolt Summit was primarily for black, well, not primary. It was for black people in a political direction with this particular conversation, because I think the Revolt Summit was a whole weekend. I think it was like Friday to Sunday from what I saw.
Okay.
And it was but this was a panel conversation with the people that we mentioned. And it was discussing a lot of the things that have to do that are politically based but have to do with bettering the black community. And I'm just going to give my overall opinion, and then you guys can give it, and then we'll go into deeper stuff. But I was introduced to Candace Owens by a coworker. I was not a fan of hers, but it's because of my prejudices, it's my preconceived notions. I was not a fan of hers because I heard that she was not for black people. And I'm going to be 100% honest, is that's why a lot of us sometimes fall into the trap of not being, like, we cancel people without even listening to what they said. Without doing the research, without listening to, like they'll do like little snippets of the conversation, but not listen to the entire conversation. And then you have a preconceived notion. So even when you listen to the whole conversation, that's cognitive dissonance. You've already shut yourself off from understanding what they're saying, that you'll just not even listen. So that's how I felt about her. But when I actually listened to what she was saying, I feel like if she didn't support Donald Trump and have a white fiance, and I'm not judging who she's dating personally, I'm saying that the black community would listen to what she had to say if she did not support Donald Trump and if she did not have a white boyfriend, fiance. I think that those two things make the black community cancel her, because majority of what she says is factual. The majority of what she says, and nobody's listening to what she's actually saying. Even in the Revolt Summit 2019, the things that she was saying, Killer Mike and T.I. both said, the majority of what you're saying is true. And then T.I. went and said, but how can you endorse a president that won't denounce white supremacy? So in his head, everything she was saying was true, but he could not get over her endorsing the president of the United States, the current person, 45, whatever the hell you want to call him. And then Killer Mike knew everything that she was saying, and I think that one of the best things of the whole night is when he said, how did he say it? He said, what you're witnessing is three people arguing about who has the best master. And he was talking about T.I. and Candace Owens. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. because the black community, when we have black codes and when they say we can't do this and you have to act like this and you have to dress like this and you have to say this and think this, that's a master that is controlling the black community. Candace Owens was listening to the president, like, in your mind, and it's your master of your mind, because the slavery that we're in now is mental. It's not physical. It's mental slavery. And in your head, you're either pro-black or not pro-black. I don't know what Candace would be considered. And Candace, I realize that I'm not talking about you.
No,
Candace
I know.
I just said Candace Owens. I'm going to have to say Candace. I don't want people to think it's you. What Candace Owens is saying, I don't know what she falls under. But being pro-black, you also have a master also. Because we get so caught up in what we think is being black enough that if you do something that's not black enough, you're going to get shunned by the entire community. And you don't even know who's shunning you. Like, you have no idea. We have no idea who they are. And this person, my coworker that I talk to, when I talk about certain things with him, I say they. And he's like, who is they? And I have no idea who they are. So I think that, and one of the things that, another thing that Killer Mike said was that don't get mad at the truth because of the person that's delivering. I think I'm paraphrasing, so I don't think he said it exactly like that. But he said, don't get mad at the truth because you don't like the messenger. The person, everything she said was true, and we're not willing to admit it. And if we were willing to admit some of the things that she was saying, we might be doing better in the community. But because we have a view of her, and there are a lot of things that she says that I don't agree with. I can't think of any, like, I can't think of them off the top. But sometimes when I listen to her talk, there are things that I don't agree with because I think that she's coming from a bubble when she talks about certain things. But there's a lot of things that she says that are true. Even in the summit, there's a lot that she said that was true, but a lot of people will not endorse her because they will get attacked by the black communities. And that's something that we do to each other all the time. The moment that somebody says something that we don't like, we cancel them. But we have no plans for progression anyway. Like, we're canceling people, but we're not progressing anyway. So Killer Mike did a great job of bringing facts forward and bringing concepts forward and without judging. And he said there's something that everybody can bring to the table, and we don't need to cancel people. Everybody has the ability to bring something to the table without judging, because there's a lot that T.I. can offer. And T.I. was very passionate throughout the whole thing, but his blinders is his passion, because he does a lot for the community. He spends a lot of money. He spends a lot of time. He says a lot of great things to the community, but his anger and his passion for his people is his blinders. So even he wouldn't even let Candace talk when she was trying to explain when America was great. And Killer Mike ended up answering the question. And most of us still went over our head completely. We didn't even understand what he was saying. So I think that the conversation, which ended up being primarily the three of them, the conversation is the reason. And what happened in the conversation is the reason why we're not doing as well as we should be doing. Because we don't listen to each other. We cancel each other before we have the ability to listen.
Well,
go ahead, Dan.
No, I just wanted to say something about the word "say," because I tend to do that also. I always ask, who are they? And whenever I speak about they, I always then add who I mean by they. And by they, I mean anyone who wishes to oppress human development. And I use that specifically because it could be people of African-American background I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not saying it's white people. The other piece is the fact that one of our greatest challenges, we don't understand Ma'at. If we understood Ma'at, we would understand that everybody has something they can bring. That's why I say, take the best and leave the rest. Take the sense out the nonsense. When we're sitting there listening to people talk, we're too busy into our tribe, let's say. We're too busy into people as opposed to ideas. We are personality-oriented and issue-oriented. if Candace Owens, and I've followed her, I've seen her, there are things that she says that are quite appropriate in terms of my thinking. The great majority of things she says is unacceptable to me, but there are things that she says that are acceptable. You have to be smart enough, large enough, intelligent enough to be able to embrace what she says that is in line with what you're thinking, and then be able to reject the others. So it's not that you're accepting her or rejecting her. It's her ideas that you're dealing with, not her as a person. We are caught up in the West. But you see, you got to go back to the axiology of the different cultures. African culture is person to person. Asian culture is person to group. And European is person to material wealth. So that when you're dealing in Asian culture, how you feel about the your coworker has nothing to do with your performance. And you'll be penalized by the group for acting in a way inappropriate when you start dealing with people in a group. Now, that's a strength, but it's also a weakness. You need ma'at. When it comes to the European, they're into material wealth. They objectify you. You are an object.
I know that.
So when so when you're listening to T.I. and Candace Owens and Mike, Killer Mike, what you're dealing with is you are beyond their issue. You're looking at them as a person. And every time they say something you don't like, you reject them. By the time they say something that you do agree with, you have spent so much time rejecting them, you've turned them off.
Exactly.
So as people, you gotta take the best and lead the rest. It ain't about Candace Owens. It's not about T.I. It's not about Killer Mike. It's what's good for people. Let that be how you judge what you do.
Exactly.
Like I say, there are people that I, like, you know, I tell you, Herman Cain. Herman Cain, man, ran for president back in the day. The president, or I believe he's the president, but he's the chairman of the board or something, of Godfather Pizza. He said 999. That was his economy. Now, I didn't agree with a lot of what Herman Cain said. But there were areas that I was very interested in it. And for one, from a business perspective, I'd like to know how that black man made Godfather Pizza one of the most productive and successful pizza businesses, if not in America, in the world. I would like to know his business acumen. I would like him to teach me his business acumen. I could sit as his apprentice, as his student, and learn from him. Disagree with a lot of what he represents, but really be fascinated with his strength. Another thing that he said that I agreed with totally, and that is that black people are owned and operated by the Democratic Party. And that's true.
That's one of her main. That's one of Candace Owens' main points in everything that she believes in, which I agree with as well.
Listen, you bring a Republican up to me and tell me, and he tell me or she that there's a number of things that they're going to do that's going to benefit the African community. Listen, I wouldn't say I ain't going to vote for them because they're Republican. See, we're too personal. We're too emotional as in our decisions, and I understand why. I do, and I love and respect us. But because of the conditions that we've lived under, we have been under personal assault for so long that the very essence of our existence has been formulated around our complexion, which means that everything about us is attacked. And so now all of our the way we react to society comes from a personal perspective because we've been attacked personally. Once we shut that down and once we can look at something from a scientific perspective, make decisions from a scientific perspective to be able to balance it, most importantly by the laws and the principles of Ma'at, which is justice and righteousness, reciprocity, you know, order and arrangement in your life and in the universe. Once you begin to develop your reasoning skills around the principles of Ma'at, things will change for you almost immediately, and people won't know how to handle you because they can't get you emotional. This is one of the things with me and my development of my discussions with people. I'm not emotional. And if you say something in a discussion with me that makes sense, I'll agree with you. I don't care who you are or what your culture is.
Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with you. I say, that's a great idea. Thank you for bringing that up. We have to become comfortable like that. But we're in such a position in our society as constantly being attacked, everything we do, which goes back to what you said, Sasha, about sometimes it ain't about the ism. Sometimes people don't like you, not because you're black, but because you're an idiot.
Exactly.
It's simple. You're stupid.
Exactly.
They don't like you because you're stupid. It ain't because you're black. You're stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, like what I felt like listening to that, I felt like, you know, and Daddy, this is something that this is none of the Kaaba-ism. I felt that people were not listening, and listening is a skill. I feel like they were so ready to respond and have a response that they didn't fully digest exactly what one another was saying. So it's like, it was like me against you, as opposed to we're saying the same exact thing. We're just saying it this, in a different way. And I feel like when it comes to Candace, I feel like it's her delivery in which she does. She sounds like she's against black people. That's the stance that she gets, and that's what we pick up. So, of course, we're going to be turned off by somebody that's totally against us, because there's certain things that she says that it's like a trauma. It's like when we've been, you know, told and taught our whole lives certain trigger words and certain trigger things, and then she says them, so then she now becomes the trauma. So we feel re-traumatized by her saying those things and saying, I'm going to support Trump and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. People are automatically like, it's just a switch that's turned on. Like, for me, I use an example of, like, in the morning, I have an alarm clock. But sometimes that alarm clock, people use it as their ringtone. So throughout the day, if I hear it, it clicks something in me when I hear it, and it makes me feel a certain way, but it's because that's what wakes me up. So it's like there's certain things that are associated. Like, there's certain smells that are associated. There's certain things that – so we just have – as the people have to realize that sometimes we're triggered by certain things, and that turns us off. Now, is that wrong? That's not wrong. That's human nature. But should we work on that and work on ourselves to make us understand why we are feeling the way that we're feeling and able to have conversations whether you agree with them or not? That's where it becomes less of an argument and more of a discussion. So it's like what Killer Mike did, he kind of, you know, made it a discussion. People were listening to him. It was quiet. But as Candace Owen was talking, T.I. kept interrupting. People kept interrupting. Side remarks. The audience kept on taking her off of what she was trying to say. And for me, I don't agree or disagree with what everybody on the panel said. But for me, I just felt more comfort. And the intention was right, was better in my eyes. Through Killer Mike, what Killer Mike was saying. Because I felt at the end of the day, everybody was saying the same exact thing. But it was more of, let me puff up my chest and let me sound better than you. And let me be better than
That's
you. Let me prove you wrong.
That's exactly
and I feel
what
like
Killer Mike said.
When he, and I feel like when he came out saying niggas, it's like, come on, you got to look at your skin color, regardless of what you think and what you voice. You come in a room and the first thing people are going to see is that you're black. You're of melanated and African descent. Like, and we have to realize we got to stop fighting each other because we're so quick to correct each other. But then another person comes in the room and we're so kissing their feet and kissing and not realizing that we're putting ourselves down and making other people feel better about what they're saying and how they're feeling. So what Candace Owen is doing is, you know, is representing what a lot of other black people look at as Uncle Tom. because she's silent and she has certain viewpoints in regards to Trump, and what Trump represents is MAGA. So that's why people feel a certain way about her, not saying what she's saying is right or wrong, but people are not even going to be able to digest something when they're regurgitating whatever it is that's coming out. They're not even letting it come down. It's immediately coming back up and going without being fully understood.
But one of the worst things about it, I think that I feel that the president is he's very spoiled, and he has an evil, like his core seems evil to me. And it doesn't seem like he cares about anybody. I feel like he was just in the race because he's a celebrity and it's to feed his ego. But a lot of the problems that we bring on ourselves. Black Americans don't have a dog in the fight at all. When he's talking about illegal immigration, the things that he talks about does not pertain. I mean, even when he's talking about Muslim people, he's not talking about the Nation of Islam. He's talking about Muslim people from the Middle East. And I'm not saying that I agree with him, but
no,
black people always feel like
people,
when there's
when
a
you,
fight.
But you're
no,
saying,
when black
when you say that, it's more so, it's not that they don't have a dog in the fight, it's that they don't feel as though they have a dog in the fight.
No. We do not have a dog in the fight. I'm not saying that it feels like we don't. I'm saying black people are fighting for everybody else all the time when there's a lot of people that don't side with us and don't fight with us. Black people are feeling offended by everything that's going on in the country, and none of it has to do with us. Even when it comes to illegal immigration, one of the things, and literally, and I know that I'm not going to get the best representation when I say this because I'm literally not defending her at all, but one of the things that she discusses is that illegal immigration, and I don't even know how to not say this the wrong way, but what is considered illegal immigration, which is crazy anyway because this country was stolen from people regardless, but the way that the country is set up, illegal immigration is considered when you come here and you don't earn the right to be here through the procedures that the country has set up. Whether it's right or wrong, there's a way that things are done. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's what they're talking about. When she discusses illegal immigration, she's saying that the people that look like us, the people that are considered black, the people that are considered black in America can't get in because people are sneaking in through Canada and through Mexico. And it doesn't have anything to do with black people. But I feel like we do that because of our compassion. And we do it because all we've ever known to do is how to fight. All the fights that we're having now, all the fights that the black community is having against Donald Trump is on behalf of somebody else. If we focus on building ourselves up instead of trying to fix everybody else, we might do a little bit better. We might be doing better. If we worked as hard for everybody else as we did for ourselves, we might be doing a little bit better. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a good person. I don't think he has anybody's best interest at heart. I think everything he does, even when he got ASAP Rocky out of the Swedish prison, that was for himself. That was not for the black community, the rap community. It was not for ASAP Rocky. It wasn't for Kanye West. It was for to make himself feel better. But we are so focused on everybody else's issues. And that's even what, like, with the concept of the master. Like, we're trying to please everybody except for ourselves. We're not taking into consideration that we need help. You know, when you're on the airplane, they tell you that you have to put the oxygen mask on first. We are trying to help everybody. We haven't healed. We can't help illegal immigration. A lot of the people, and this is one of the most disturbing things about it, because I don't believe in separating people of color, but a lot of times people of color separate themselves. Nobody wants to be black. Everybody, if you're from somewhere else, if you're from a Spanish-speaking country, if you're from French-speaking Creole, whatever you speak, even if you're from, like, West Indian Island, you don't want to be a black American because of what you think a black American is. But black people fight for every – the reason why black people are in this country, I mean, the reason why everybody else besides black Americans that were slaves in America, the reason why they're even in the country is because of the doors that were opened during civil rights. And we don't – and it's the best in us that makes us that way. It's the compassion and the love for humanity and for people's soul that makes us that way. But we have to fix ourselves first. And we're not doing it. We're not taking that against them. Everything that they were talking about in the show, none of that stuff helped black people. Even when they were talking, everybody was talking about how what illegal immigration does for black Americans. If it was a communal care and if everybody cared about one another and if these people were coming here to make the country better for people of color in general, it would be one thing. But there's a lot of things that we're helping people and the people don't care about us. And I'm not talking about everybody because there's a lot of people coming from a lot of different places that speak different languages that do care about black Americans. But we still, everybody, when they feel good about themselves or when they have pride in something, everybody feels the pride in themselves except for black Americans. Black Americans, we feel the pride in struggle. We don't feel the pride in anything else but being the more you have struggled. When we hear stories, people, one of the reasons why people like Lizzo so much is because of what she talks about and because of the struggle that she's been through and where she ended up. But we will not celebrate someone that had everything going for them from the beginning. We're not going to celebrate them the same way that we would celebrate Lizzo. And I love Lizzo, so this is no shade to her whatsoever. But my point is, we focus so hard on struggle, we can't even love being good. If you're good, that means that you're not black enough. And we need to change the narrative of our own self.
This becomes the corner to what we have to have deep community conversations on. And I think we're trying to cover so many other conversations that fundamentally there's a basic conversation that we have to have as a people. And that question becomes, what can we do? Or if you want to look at it as the individual, what can I do to better my own conditions, like you say about the oxygen mask on the plane? What can I do that will improve my condition? What can I do that would improve my family, community, and the world? But first, you got to start with yourself. And each of us has to look deep inside of ourselves. Because, you know, I say it, we laugh, it sounds funny. But the more I get into it, the more I realize that I don't understand time-wise how people can spend so much time in another person's business.
Right.
Because, you know, when I think about the work that I'm doing, like when I say to find that piece in you, okay, let's say I found that piece in me, that thing that I want to do, that divine gift that I've been given, as each of us has been given something very special that no one else has. And only we can do it the way we were born to do it. Make no difference if there's 200 other people in the same category that you're in, you're going to do it differently. There is so much work that is to be done to perfect your craft. There's so much that I want to do. There are so many books I want to write. There are so many places I want to go to teach and to do this work that I do. I don't know how I could ever spend an extended amount of time in someone else's business.
Right.
Now, I think the reason why we do this is, again, it goes back to the psychological conditions of black people. But let's be clear. The word psychology is not the study of the mind. Saku is an African word that represents the soul. It's the study of the soul. Mm. Psychology is the study of the soul. We have fractured consciousness and shattered spirit as a people. We have to understand what they did to us. from a child, generation after generation after generation after generation. And here we are now, after all of these years, we are the result of all of those generations of spontaneous and purposeful underdevelopment as a people. Purposeful underdevelopment of the people. And now we're faced with this. We have work that we have to do. But, I'll confess. Last night, I watched Diary of a Mad Black Woman. You know Tyler Perry's piece?
Yes.
I saw it last night. Diary of a Mad Black Woman. I'll admit it. It was a very interesting movie. The way Tyler approached it, very interesting. But Cicely Tyson was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where she was talking to her daughter, because her daughter was the one that had been transgressed against. And there were scenes between...
What a way to say
mother-
that.
What's that?
Transgressed against. Oh, that's what
yeah, yeah. A transgression, an offense. To the person that was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have to move beyond this. And this is what Cicely Tyson was attempting to explain to her daughter. And she said, you have to forgive him. I mean, this brother played the part, too. He was a horrible person to her.
Yeah, he was. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's why good acting.
Yeah.
And she said to her, you have to forgive him, not because you're forgiving him, but so that you can forgive yourself and move on in your life. Somewhere along the line, in this purposeful underdevelopment of a people, this is why I believe that the president that's in the White House now is so important for us to see. He has taught us very important lesson. And one of the things that he's taught me, in a sense, not that I didn't know it, but that he, word made flesh, he made what I thought become a reality. Democracy is very fragile. Democracy is only as strong as the weakest person that believes in it.
Wow.
And what I've come to realize, as a child growing up in New York City, and those that may be of age to remember what I'm saying, every day at 12 noon, sirens would go off in New York. At this time in history, we were very much against Russia. Russia was an enemy to us. We were in a Cold War. And
imagine.
Every 12 noon, there were sirens. You can still see the sirens up on some of the lampposts. They haven't taken them down. Every day at 12 noon, the sirens would go off. I grew up Roman Catholic. We would cross ourselves in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was a religious ritual. And we would do that to pray that Russia wouldn't attack us.
Mm.
They told me stories in Catholic school about the Chinese, because they were the other enemy now. They told me stories where they would take chopsticks and stick it through the ears of children.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Okay, this is what we grew up in. We grew up in this sense of deep fear of Russia and China and communism. You're talking about the mid to late 50s going into the 60s. This is how I grew up. And As I look at this development and how we all grew up, and I look at what we're going through, and I think about the Diary of a Mad Black Woman, and the fact that Cicely Tyson was saying you got to forgive him so that you can forgive yourself, And she said also, which is very interesting, she said, you will not have accomplished it until you are no longer angry with him. Because as long as you carry anger, you carry a rather perverse love or interest in that which you are saying you hate. And so as long as we are hating on the white man or the white woman or any other culture or any other ism, they are the center of our life. And how are you going to accomplish your goal if your goal in your life is wrapped up in somebody else outside yourself?
You will not.
You can't. Because you're focusing on something other than you. How can you accomplish your goal?
So that's their goal.
Well, as black folk, we now have to turn inward and begin to ask ourselves some very important questions. And that is, how much are we really entangled up in peoples of European descent? They have great power over us. The fact that we're still talking about them. Donald Trump has achieved something for every single day around the world.
On television. Every single day.
All they do is talk about him.
They make
every
balloons for him,
single
costumes.
Day. In all sorts of different ways. Now, people also talk about Hitler. So it's not a compliment that people are talking about you. But when you have his shameless personality, where
it seems like
I don't care what you say about me, just talk about me.
Right.
But we have to change our view. It's up to us to do this. It's not up to them. It's up to us. And the final scene.
It feels like we're talking to a wall when we do this. Like, it does not feel like it's something that is able to be accomplished.
No, well, I'm talking to 3 out of 100.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm talking to 3 out of 100. Look, hey.
I
just wish
I had
blinders.
I wish I had blinders on, like one of those horses that have the thing that all they see is the goal.
But I don't have blinders on, Sasha. I don't have blinders on.
I know. I said I wish I did.
No, I'm saying that the choices that I've made, I've come from a stark reality that I see the future. I see what's going to happen. And I'm not talking psychically now. I'm not talking on that level. I am saying that when you study history and when you understand history, like I tell people, you know, prophets are not psychics. They're just good historians, because when you know what happened in the past, you can interpret the present and predict the future upon past events. And the further back you go, the further concrete information you can get about what the future, what's going to happen in the future. And the webinar that I did after race war, the purpose I did it was to prepare black people for something. It's to prepare people for something. And that, again, I'm getting ready to do the webinar number 4, which deals with the psychopathic, neurotic nature of Eurasian. And to do this, I'm reading certain books that's enlightening what's happening. And we have to understand why all this is going on, what Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump is tapping into the deepest demonic nature of human beings. And no matter what he says, no matter what he does, like he said, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and wouldn't lose no votes. He wouldn't lose votes to people who are psychotically married to him. So that once we understand what's happening, there's going to come a time, family, where there will be no Eurasians on the planet. Their time is up. You read the book, The Birth Dearth. You read the book, Death of the West by Pat Buchanan. You're going to see certain demographics. Demographics is the study of population. There are so many things that's going against They literally have a term in Europe called dinks, where men, European men and women get married. They call themselves dinks, D-I-N-K, double income, no kids. Japan is dying out. China is dying out. See, we don't know. Russia. Russia, for every one person that dies, their numbers are higher. Eight won't be born. Everybody trying to get into America. You don't see nobody trying to break into Russia. Russia ain't got no immigration problem. Russia got an emigration problem, not an immigration problem, an emigration problem. Because people moving out. There is no opportunity. There's no opportunity in Russia. There's no opportunities in Russia. Yes, there's no opportunities in Russia. There's nothing going on in Russia. Russia is poorer than a lot of nations that are much smaller than them. Russia isn't a big country. Russia, they call, has a, what, unfortunately, they call it a third world developed nation. Russia don't have nothing going for them. China is in trouble. It's all an illusion. And if we don't get ourselves together and unify and aggregate our income, we're going to win them. We have to understand this, family. And this is why we have to talk about the issues, not the personalities. I couldn't care less about Candace Owens. I don't plan on going to her house for dinner, and I don't have an invitation for her to come to mine. I'm not interested in her as a person. I respect her as someone who has done the kind of work necessary to put her in this position. I understand what she's done. If she says something that makes sense to me, I'm going to look at it, and if I can apply it in my life, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to reject it simply because I don't like her. I don't give a damn about her. And we have to get to that point. Get that emotion out the way. And start looking at certain things. The Democrats are sly foxes and the Republicans are brute wolves. Malcolm told us they both belong to the dog family. Neither one of them mean us any good because look at the condition we find ourselves in going into 2020. What has the Democrats done? Even when there was a black president, what have the Democrats done for us?
Exactly.
And so we have to be wise in what we do. Voting is a strategy. Voting is a strategy. Voting is necessary. Very necessary. It's like another bullet in our arsenal. Everything works. Voting works. But you got to understand the strategy. I don't vote for someone because they're going to do something for me. I vote for somebody because I'm using my vote, because if you don't do something for me, you don't have my vote. It's a strategy. They don't like nobody. Most politicians, one of the characteristics of being a politician is you're a liar. And I don't trust nothing come out your mouth, because if someone told the truth, they would not get their vote, because to tell the truth means you telling people, guess what? America is in trouble right now. White people, the Western world is in trouble right now. The Dolley House is falling. It's not that it's going to fall. It's falling as we speak. Open your eyes, brothers and sisters, and see what's going on around you.
Open your eyes and tune your ears.
There we go. Sharpen your eyes and tune your ears. That's my brother, Luke Miller. So you know what you see and understand what you hear.
Understand what you hear.
That's it. That's it. Grow up. We did it on the plantation. See, we need a plantation mentality. We have to think like we're on a plantation. Okay, and here I am in the field house looking at all the trouble that the big house is having. And like Malcolm said, the difference between a field Negro and a house Negro is the house Negro talk about, boss, we sick. or force our house on fire. The field Negro is hoping that the master die from his illness and hope that a wind blows the fire to burn the whole house down. Because why? Because the field Negro has nothing to lose. In fact, the field Negro can get on that Underground Railroad while the house is burning, while everybody's paying attention to the house on fire. They can go and free themselves. See, this discussion that with T.I. and with Killer Mike and with Candace Owens, man, we had that argument 40 years ago. We talked about that 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a new generation is talking about it from a different perspective, but it's the same conversation. What I heard is the same exact thing I've heard said at least, well, so many times, I don't want to put a number on it. I saw arguments on the corner of 125th Street in Harlem like that.
Yep.
And you want to know something else? Those brothers and sisters made more sense than what I heard on the television.
Right.
Because how many times do we have to go through these conversations before we get to Q? You know, normally when you teach me something, I'll pretty much understand it and adjust. But how many times do we have to go through this same conversation?
Yeah.
Before we realize what it is that we have to do.
The problem. That's the thing. We got to get down to the actual foundation of the problem.
The foundation of the problem is each and every one of us. And like I say, you only have one enemy. When you solve that enemy, when you defeat that enemy and put that enemy in his or her place, then everything else is just an obstacle. You could achieve anything you want. And that's what our ancestors did on the plantation. Imagine going for freedom. Imagine being enslaved and treated that way. And one day you decide that you're just going to get up and leave. Don't know where you're going. Don't know what you're going to meet on that road. But there is something inside of you. There's a fire that burns inside that gets you up and out off that plantation with this white man you think is the most powerful entity on the planet. You just get up and you leave against all odds. You free yourself. Man, that's the type of spirit I want.
You know what you said just made me think about. Imagine if slaves on a plantation had the freedom that we have.
Jeez.
Like, imagine what they would have done with that. And we're talking about the situations that we're in that are mental, which their situation was physical and mental. But imagine if all of a sudden everybody that was on the plantation had all the rights and freedoms that we have right now that we're saying that we don't have.
That's right. And we have them today because of them.
Yes.
We have that because of them. We don't have a right to stay stuck. If that was their problem, and as you say, the physical and the mental, what was it that allowed mental to turn around? Some couldn't read, couldn't write. All they knew was, I want to be free. But what kind of power do you have? What kind of inner strength do you have to do something like that? And here we are today thinking we got it rough. Yeah, them shooting us down in the street, not good. I understand that. But what happened when it was legal for that to happen?
Yeah.
What happened when it was in the books that you could do that and get away with it? What was it when you shot a black man or a black woman? It was like shooting a stray dog.
And we couldn't go to court and try to fight against them. Whether we win or lose, we didn't have the right to go to court against them. That's illegal.
No, you couldn't. Now, okay, it's still wrong.
But it's different.
But it's better than it was.
Yeah.
Because now we can take them to court. Now we can begin the movement of having them be accountable for their actions. It's changed.
Yeah.
The point I'm making is not to make it seem like everything is all right now. My point is...
Because it's not.
if we've come to this point in our life, why are we regurgitating the same things we were talking about on the plantation 150 years ago? Why are we still stuck in talking the same thing? And I believe it has to do with the study of the soul, psychology, sakuloji, the study of the soul of the black man and woman. What is it that doesn't allow us to be able to move beyond and understand from all intentions and purposes that we must take our money and we have to do things like support the black farmers? Because the black farmers are going to become very important as it relates to our food source in the future. What is it that doesn't allow, and I'm not saying that some of the folk ain't doing it, because they very well could be doing it. But I'm saying that we need to be focused on real, serious issues. We, you know, we have to understand that all of a sudden, I'm looking at the TV during a weather, and I'm looking at a storm that's going up the West Coast. I've never seen a storm going up the West Coast before. Nobody taking climate change seriously. All these young people, blessings and shout out to all the young people who went to the UN and talked about climate change. This is very real. This is very real.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico has been devastated by Hurricane Maria. The Bahamas have been devastated. Trinidad just got hit. This is happening. This is very real. If African folk wanted to have a real conversation, we need to have a conversation about climate change in the Caribbean. These are real issues that we have to start talking about. We're talking about the same thing we were talking about 150 years ago. We have to start talking about what's happening over the next 150 years when by 2050, Europeans are going to be the minority. You know they're going to go buck wild crazy with them guns when they can see. Right now, we turn the movies on, and we see a whole bunch of people of European descent on TV. We watch the Emmy Awards, and we watch all these peoples of European descent get all these awards. Listen, in 50 years, it ain't going to be like that because there ain't going to be that many European people around, and they're not going to be in the majority. What's going to happen in 50 years?
But neither are we.
Black folk, one of the things we better start doing, learn Spanish, learn Kiswahili. Those are the two languages black folk need to start to study. Because Spanish is going to be a major language in the United States.
But do you think that they're going to respect us?
Well, my thing is, well, are we going to step up to the plate and do what we... See, people respect you
That's
when you respect
point.
Yourself. But you got to respect yourself.
Yeah.
And if you respect yourself, people will respect you. If you conduct your... I grew up in a community of many different cultures, many different backgrounds. And the way my parents carried themselves, there was nothing but respect for my family. I knew nothing but respect in the projects. And we gave respect back. And not like we just got it. We gave
it. Yeah.
And in all of my experiences with people... There is a common relationship in the Spanish-speaking community. And I think that we've allowed the outer forces to keep us fighting each other.
I agree.
I've been to Mexico. I've seen black folk in Mexico. I've seen black communities in Mexico. And the same thing goes for all the other areas. There are black people all around the world that unite themselves around their Africanness. This is what we have to do.
But we all need to be on the same page.
Well, I'm looking for 3 out of 100 of them, too. I ain't looking for everybody. We don't need everybody. If you feel a certain way about culture and about being black and all, that's your business. I'm talking about the ones that are ready to make this move, and I've known so many. Candace and well, you remember the time I introduced you to that brother, Richard Tanco, from Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Dreadlocks, and this brother is just a dynamite brother.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dynamite brother here. He knows his African blood. He embraces his Africanness. He's also
proud to be Puerto Rican. Like that.
And he's proud to be Puerto Rican.
Which
he's
is
proud
the way
to be
it's
Puerto
supposed
Rican.
To be.
Exactly. So I'm reaching out to folk like that, that have that mindset. The same thing with all the other islands of the Caribbean. Like I told you, when I was teaching up in New Paltz, they had the Malik fraternity up there, which is Malcolm's fraternity. And for as long as I was there, the great majority of brothers that was crossing the line were Dominican brothers.
Yep.
Sometimes the entire class of 8 to 10, they all were Dominican.
I know some of them.
And so, you know, I mean, I know folk that are very proud to be who they are. And they're from various places. And that is Pan-African at its best.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the types of things that we have to start thinking about moving forward into the future. And there's some people don't like what I say, and that's okay. but when you speak your perspective of truth, you have to accept the fact that there are going to be people that are going to disagree with you vehemently, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
You just have to respect
okay.
one another. You're going to agree to disagree, but just respect.
That's it.
And there's always
going to
be people that love you and hate you.
And that's it. And you also have to understand that there are good people in all cultures. And you just can't hate them or dislike them or discount them simply because they belong to a particular group or a particular ism.
Yep.
Because the ancestors and the creator put the word, the real word, in the mouths sometimes of people you least want to hear it from. Because the most important thing in life, keep your ears, like I say, sharpen your eye, tune your ear. Because when the word comes to you, it might come to you from a white supremacist that's
mm-hmm.
going to say something. But if you hate them because they're white or because they're a supremacist, the word that they're saying to you that is really the word of God coming to you, the word of the Creator is coming to you through their mouth to see, are you going to keep yourself open to truth?
Mm.
And when that person says it, you say, oh, my God, you got to embrace it. You got to face it.
I wouldn't say, white supremacist is not the word, but one of the people that, and I've said this before, one of the people that really opened my eyes to really looking at the way things really are in the world, in the country, he's white, Christian, straight man, and he works in corporate America. He is a Republican, conservative, and he voted for Donald Trump. And the two of us, if this would have been before I was mature, I could have never had a conversation, because even sometimes when we talk now, it gets very heated and I get upset. But after a while, it really, like, it makes me research what I say more because of the conversation, because I don't want to come from a place of emotion. I want to come from a place of understanding and facts and real things to believe in. I don't want to believe in it just because the black community tells me to believe in it. I want to believe in it because it'll better the black community, not just because they're telling me that I need to believe it. So in having conversations with him, I am able to actually use my brain more, because you have to come to the table with something that is not just your emotions, because emotions are not going to get us anywhere. And that's one of the reasons why we're having so many issues, because our emotions are driving us as opposed to progression. So he's not a white supremacist. However, he has all of those things that if you were to put him on paper, he looks racist, but he's not. Some people have conversations with him, and they think he's racist, but he's not, because we're so stuck in the box of the way that people are, like, white people have to be, and I like him, but we think that white people have to be like Gary Owen. They have to, like, love black culture, and if you don't love everything about black people, you're not allowed to be who you are, you're not allowed to say anything.
people will appreciate, like, they only like black people that can, I mean, white people that can dance or can make food that's, like in a black way. We don't let people be who they are. And like you said, just take the sense from the nonsense. Whatever sounds good, regardless of the messenger, if it sounds good, it's something that we should appreciate. And I learned that within the last, like, year and a half to 2 years, that the message doesn't always come the way we think it does. Like, a lot of my messages come from you, Daddy, but there are messages that come from people that don't agree with us and don't look like us and don't fit into the box of what we think a message should come in. Sometimes when we get a message from the way that it's supposed to look, it's a bad message. So just because it looks like it's our message doesn't mean that it's for us. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm waiting for Kondike. I'm waiting here for Kondike.
Did I get the connection?
No, I know. I know. I've been talking a while, so I said, let Kondike do her thing.
I mean, you guys just summed it up. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. And it's like, we just have to really step back and really analyze, well, what are we doing? How can we be better within ourselves? And it's like, a lot of times what people do is that they tend to point out other people's flaws and you know, do like point the finger and want to, you know, focus on other people. We like the drama of things. We like to create the drama. But that's only because we're trying to escape our lives and what we deal with. And, you know, instead of doing that, we really have to focus, look within ourselves and say, how can I better myself? How can I become a better individual, mind, body, and soul? Because at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. You have to look yourself in the mirror, and you have to believe in everything that you're talking and saying and doing. And, you know, we can't keep just focusing on, like, the trivial things and pointing the finger. And you know, there's so many times that you see people and you're like Daddy, how you always say, I'm part of a very exclusive club. And it's the Mind Your Business Club. And I feel like a lot of times people want to mind other people's business, and then they want to look and say, why are you listening to this person? Why are you doing this person? They automatically are turned off when, like I could say in my life, I've had a lot of things that I felt as if they were negative, and they ended up being positive. And it's we don't realize that we think one thing, and we don't realize that, you know, sometimes life has other things in mind for us. So, like what you were saying, Daddy, if somebody's saying something that you don't care for that person, but what they're saying makes sense, you have to respect the fact that what they're saying makes sense. Take what they're saying, take the sense, and leave the rest. Keep the best and leave the rest. Because if we were just turned off by what one person said or did, we would never be able to listen to anybody. Because nobody is perfect. So it's like, I may agree with somebody on this way or that way, but I may not look like them, or they may not look like me, and they agree with what I have to say or what I have to do. But, you know, every degree, everybody goes through similar situations, but in a different degree. And I feel like nobody's problems is bigger or more important than others. What we have to do is just work on ourselves and better ourselves. And the minute that we do that, the minute we mind our business, work on ourselves, is the minute that we're going to realize, why was I even getting upset? Why was I, you know, becoming belligerent? Why was I upset? Why was I, like, holding this over one person's head? And like you said from the movie, you know, we have to forgive those that we've been harboring these feelings, because it's just like, you know, us drinking poison and expecting another person to die. And it's like, we have to realize what really goes on in our bodies when we harbor this anger, frustration, we're like, oh God, I don't want to run into this person, and you end up running into that person because you're gravitating that person towards you. So we just have to stop allowing individuals to be in our minds and be in our spirits and just live our best lives. That's like my end all be all for everything. Just work on you and just live life, because there's nobody out there that's going to be able to be who you are and represent what you want to represent. And, you know, we're all amazing in our own. And we just have to hone in on what we're supposed to do in life and what makes us happy, and realize, you know, that we go through things and we experience things for a reason. And that you just have to take from that what you may not like or what you may like, you know. So that's all I got to say. But I think just being able to have these discussions is the most important. And I feel like a lot of times people don't feel as though they have a voice, or their voice is hushed so often, or they're told that they're wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know. But just the ability to speak what's on your mind and, you know, have this sort of platform to be able to be heard is an amazing accomplishment. And it's one that a lot of people in their lifetime are not able to experience. So I just appreciate this. I appreciate you guys, you know, not just because you're my family, but I just enjoy these sort of conversations because it makes me realize that I'm on the right path. And I feel like what people should take from it is that realization that they're on the right path to where they need to be, who they need to be, and how they're going to get there. And regardless of the topic, it all boils down to, at the end of the day, just take the best and leave the rest. Take the sense out of the nonsense and just keep on keeping on, because it ain't over till we win.
Ooh, I'm going to copy that. And you know, that's what it boils down to. That's mm-hmm. what it all comes to. When all is said and done, that's really what it comes down to. And it's just, we're at a very critical time right now. This experiment called mm-hmm. democracy that mm-hmm. started however many years ago, no matter how you look at it. Like I say, that's the one thing I learned, is how fragile democracy is.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I was telling you that story about growing up and hearing those sirens, you know, there's another part to this story that also becomes very important. And that is that, mind you, I'm not far out of the end of World War II. End of World War II, 1945. I was born 1953. And so I was born not out of my father being a veteran, your grandfather being in World War II. We talked about Germany a lot. We talked about Hitler, you know, between the Russians and the Chinese, and talking about the Nazis and the Germans.
Mm.
I wondered as a child, and I remember these thoughts I had in my head. I wondered, these Nazis were doing such horrible things to people.
Mm.
How could people follow Hitler? See, because they made it seem like Hitler was in charge, and that it was almost like Hitler was the one putting every person in the ovens, murdering every family in Europe. Hitler, you know, they talked about the Nazis, but it was really focused on Hitler. And I wondered, he couldn't have done this by himself. I'm thinking like I'm Caress's age now. I'm 7, mm-hmm. 8, 9, 10 years of age. I'm hearing these stories, and I'm wondering to myself, how could people follow such a horrible man?
Mm-hmm.
How could they go along with what he was saying? How could they believe mm-hmm. that? But look at today. Look mm-hmm. at Look at the hateful people that live in our nation.
The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact thing, which has taught me the second lesson that's very important. Hitler was not the image of the problem. He was the reflection of it.
Mm.
He didn't do that by himself. There were many people that supported him. There were many people that believed what he believed. He could not have done that by himself. As a child, though, you're thinking, this one, like for instance, Koresh could be thinking that it's all about what the president is doing.
Yeah.
Not realizing there are millions of people that support this man.
Yeah.
There are millions of people that feel what he feels. That's the second lesson that I learned. Democracy is very fragile. The idea that everybody has a right to their own self-determination, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's not guaranteed. And America has shown now, supposed to be the leader of the free world, and you're acting like this, you taught me something. And we as black folk have to look within ourselves and ask ourselves, how much of this are we copying? How much of this feeling towards other people are we determining that I know how you should be, and if you're not the way I say you ought to be, then you're a problem? Who made you the decider and chief?
We're very good at that.
Some of us are doing the same thing in so many different ways, and we all better check ourselves before we wreck
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take
yep.
on the attributes of the vampire. Don't take on those attributes. It's a very dangerous thing. And that's another thing that I'm noticing that's happening, is that there are many people who are beginning to act like him, and some of them are within our own group. By that, I mean persons
that
of African descent.
That is very true. It's like Killmonger and Black Panther.
We all have to look at this and ask ourselves, where are we? Where am I in this?
Yep, and it started off, when he was trying to do something good for the black community, he ended up so against who was oppressing his community that he became one of them.
And that's what happened. And what was interesting is that so many black folk could identify with Killmonger. But at some point in time, you have to stop and ask yourself, what would have happened if Killmonger had been able to grow beyond that?
If he would have been, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
What would have happened? How dynamic could he have been?
Mm.
Had he been,
with his
been
skills.
Able to outgrow it?
With the skills
Absolutely.
That he had. Because
yeah.
even I took on it in the beginning. I thought that he was the person to look up to, and then I realized what it really was. And it was unfortunate for me to see that there's so many of us that are like that, that we don't have to be like that, but we're treating each other so badly, no matter what it is. We're just so, like, color, everything. We just... If you look anything like any sort of privilege, you have to dim whatever shine you have and be humble and make sure that you don't speak out too loud over the people that are the most deeply oppressed. You can't be good enough if you are not what society says is black enough.
But that's only if you care what other people say or think.
I mean, that's true, but what I'm saying is, on a whole, it's only valid if you care, but that's the way, like, that's when you have conversations with people, when you see conversations on TV, whether it's social media, regular media, conversations out in the street, you're not allowed, if you're not black enough, you're not allowed to be loud, you're not allowed to have conversations, you're not even allowed to help. If you're not who society views as black enough.
But see, here's the key. to Sasha and to Condi K and to your generation. Going back to what I saw happen at the UN with those young people. And I always really, I cherish my relationship with children, not just y'all, although you are representative of the highest point of my relationship with children as your father. But as an educator in the classroom, I've been exposed to many children. And I always had faith in children. And one of the things I came to realize is that in most cases, and I think that you all know this pretty well now also, in the occupations that y'all have, it's true for education, but I'm sure it's true for the occupations that y'all have. The problem aren't your clients. The problems are the damn people that work with you.
Facts. That's 100% facts.
Right.
You know, the problem with the children.
It's not the client. It's never the client. It's the people.
Yes,
and it's sad.
Absolutely.
It's sad because, you know, we all have professions in which that it takes, it's professions that take a lot from us and, you know, they're very heavy. I can speak for myself, you know, I have a very heavy profession. So therefore, I'm already, you know, I'm already emotionally invested in my career. And then to have individuals that, you know, want to bring the drama to it, I'm like, I don't have time to even deal with it. How do you even have time to come up with these things and do these things and act this way? Like, I'm just trying to get my work done and go home. Like, I can't even entertain your stupidity.
So you have to ask yourself, and this is what I did with teachers. Don't internalize.
Yeah.
And one of the great challenges that we face as a people is, and I guess we can't help it because I even think that we as a society in general,
yeah,
are
it's
upon,
our nature.
Are preyed upon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we all have to stop. You know, even those who are listening to this program, you know, we all have, myself included, we all have to stop and ask ourselves, how much of this problem am I creating? And a lot of times you'll find that the problem that you're having is that you are internalizing other people's problems.
It's true.
We just
it's
have
very
to stop
true.
As a people. We have to stop as a people. Our children are ready. It is obvious the way in which our young people from coast to coast around the world have taken this climate change piece very seriously. The way in which they've had the situation with the shootings in high schools and in colleges. The way in which the young people now have said, listen, but you see, that's the faith that I come to the challenge with. That's why I have faith in young people. See, your generation now is moving into the area of developing your life's craft.
Mm.
When you get you're no longer high school or college or the apprentice on the job or learning your job. You are now at a point where you've been doing your job for a while. You know it well. You are becoming leaders. You're becoming directors and other places of authority now.
Mm-hmm.
Your generation now will start to learn how to make the decisions that my generation dropped the ball. My generation dropped the ball. And I'm speaking in general. I'm not speaking specific because there are many in my generation that have done a phenomenal job trying to keep things in place and continue to try to keep things in place. And I would like to think that I'm one of them also who have tried to keep that peace in place. So I'm not speaking.
That includes you.
Yeah, and but in general, when you see what's happening, the generation that is now in the eldership position, now in the final decision-making areas, they lost it. The baby boomers, you know, you got in. And so I pray that your generation will lead the younger generation into a place where they'll know exactly what they have to do. And I think the best way to do it is to know exactly. I've often said, and again, that's why I think that the present day president is a gift. Because how do you know what you must never become if you don't have a supreme example of it?
Wow. Wow. Mm.
How do you know?
Yeah.
You know what it is to be good. Everybody tell you about good, but nobody tell you about evil. Nobody tells you about evil. You can imagine it, but you don't know it. Look at what we've been through over the past 3 years. This is pure evil. I don't believe in an anthropomorphic God or devil. I don't believe that comes in the form of a human being. But I certainly believe that there is a principality of evil and a principality of good. There is evil as an action, as a way of living, as that deeper demonic spirit within all of us, the Caesian force. Mm. And once you let that Caesian force go, it then embraces the Caesian forces in other people that will allow Hitler to influence Goebbels and the others. When you have a president like we have that can get other people to lie and to steal and to cheat for them, then you can see the principalities of evil. Donald Trump ain't the devil. He pure evil, but he ain't the devil. And evil is the devil without the D. And evil is live backwards.
Wow.
But I have a lot of faith in your generation. And just by watching how you have developed yourselves, this is the faith that I look at the future with. And all you got to do is have a plantation mentality.
Mm.
And know that if your ancestors could march from the north to the from the south to the north for freedom, you know, what are you willing to do for your freedom?
Mm. Wow. I don't think we can go any further after that.
Yeah.
What was that song that you just said, Daddy? Because it was a song I was gonna play, but what you just said made me think of another song, and I can't. Do you remember a song you just mentioned?
No.
Oh man. And now I forgot what you. It made me think of it, and I forgot. I wanted to change it and play this one. Oh man.
I know last week I mentioned the song, the last time we had this discussion, I spoke about Bob Marley's Zimbabwe.
And we don't have that one, but there's something you just said that made me think of another song. Oh, man.
Oh, okay. Do you remember what I said?
No. Oh, man, I'm sad. Do you remember a person you were talking about?
No, not necessarily.
Darn it. Well, I'll remember it and then play it next week. So,
yeah.
Does anybody have anything else to say? Because I think that's the best way to end it. I don't think that.
That was perfect. That was great.
Well, I just
always,
say I just have
I
just have such a respect for your generation.
I love it.
Just keep doing what you're doing. It ain't over till
keep
we win.
Keep on keeping on.
That's it.
Sounds good to me.
That's it.
This is This was a great conversation. I'm glad we got to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just so happy to have these kind of conversations because, you know, we could have been in our house, in one of our houses, having this type of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a really great example to our community as to how families can talk to each other, because they can tell this is a stage. I mean, we didn't plan this conversation.
No.
None of our conversations are planned. I mean, we just, from even the point where they hear that there's no talking at all, where it's just quiet, they know that we didn't plan this. You know, this ain't a show. This is a discussion.
It's an experience.
Yeah, in a family. And this is just one of many types of conversations that we have had growing up from when you all were children.
This is every Saturday, too.
Yeah. And this is what we as a community have to start to do with each other, to have these conversations when we can.
Yeah.
And so I just enjoy being able to have these conversations because this is for all time and space. People will look back on this in years to come. You all will look back on this in years to come. I just wonder what would happen if my father and my mother and my sister and I could have had these types of conversations on the radio or on pod or... You know, on but just being able to do this, I would, because I would have loved to remember some of the things that my mother told me, some of the things that my father told me, that have become so important. But that generation just didn't have this technology. Ours does, and so it's just exciting that in years to come, that these programs that we've had, you'll be able to look back on these conversations and know what we were doing in the fall of 2019. Trust me, as I look back on my life when I was y'all's age, when I look back, what an impact it had. And it's our obligation as fathers and mothers and grandfathers to have these conversations so that future generations know what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I just appreciate y'all and this opportunity.
Aww.
You know, I remember the song, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to play it. And you're both going to think it's very funny when I actually play it.
Okay.
Wait until you hear the song. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Or hear
looking
you
forward
time,
to.
Or you'll hear us next time.
Hotep.
Okay. Hotep.
Hotep, fam.
I have nothing but respect for our young people and what they're doing. My thing is, we as adults did not stand strong and on our square to bring our young people through this process. I know I was the young person that had to fend for himself on the streets of New York. I know what happened with our young people. I say, look, I ain't mad at you. No matter what I hear, I know that you are moving through a process because they are attempting to destroy the community. So they're using you. They are buying you out. But we as adults got to buy them back. I'm ready to compete with anybody for our young people's minds. And what we have to do is change the paradigm of how we're interacting with them. Deal with them from a heartfelt place so that they can understand. You see, because whether you realize it or not, it's you they're shooting in the streets. You young brothers, they're the ones that are being shot. And so with this entertainment and with this music, maybe I don't like what I hear. Maybe I don't like some of the words that I hear. Maybe I don't like the direction. But I think they're doing a pretty good job considering that we as men, the adult men, did not cover them when we should have covered them. And protected them when we should have protected them. And brought them under. So when we see an artist acting in a most inappropriate way, well, where is the father in this? Where is that male mentor that can be there? We as black men must take on the responsibility. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told Malcolm, is that a nation is only as strong as its weakest family. And we have got to create nations. We have to create relationships between the African man and the African woman that creates a viable nation.